And welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Again, every time you start off sounding like something's wrong and you're not quite admitting it.
Well, I've been feeling a little bit uneasy this week. Something has sort of happened to me that I don't like. I don't like how it's left me feeling.
Well, oh, God, this sounds a bit serious. What's wrong?
Well, it is quite serious when you think about it, because I found myself this week actually sort of supporting something that Piers Morgan had done.
Hang on.
I know. It's a horrible feeling. I don't like having this feeling, because it's Piers Morgan we're talking about. No one likes Piers Morgan.
When you got round here today, you did say you were feeling under the weather.
Is that...
I'm trying to work out, has agreeing with Piers Morgan made you ill, or is being ill what's made you agree with Piers Morgan?
I think it's made me ill.
Right.
I think it's not my body for six. It's like a, it's probably like some sort of trauma that my body's going through, because I found myself rooting for Piers Morgan.
Blimey.
But obviously, we've got the election coming up, the general election here in the UK. And I mean, God, what a bunch of, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, I've tried not to watch that much of it, because it winds me up so much. But I don't think I've ever known such a useless bunch of politicians that are there for us to choose from.
I know, it's a bit disheartening, really, isn't it?
It's so disheartening. Mm. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of it. Whatever people want to vote, they can vote. That's fine, right? But my God, the lies that we're being told,
everyone.
By everyone, but the Tories are...
Nope.
I mean, they're just... I mean, Boris Johnson, just his mouth moves, you just know it's a lie out.
You're letting your colours show, Trev.
Well, honestly... vote for him if you want. Vote for Jeremy Corbyn's no better. Honestly, useless, a lot of them.
Right, getting back to the point here.
What has happened
to make you agree with Piers Morgan?
Well, look, one of the biggest lies that he's being told in this campaign is about this, you know, we're going to have 50,000 new nurses in the NHS. That's what is being promised by the current government.
Yeah, and is it 40 or 4 new hospitals or something?
Yes.
A bunch of new hospitals.
Apparently so, yeah. But the thing is, they're not actually going to give you 50,000 new nurses. So Piers Morgan had Nikki Morgan on, who is one of the most useless politicians. You look at her, she's just thick. She's just so thick. You look at her and her face is just constantly stuck in not understanding, like rabbit in headlights.
I see, right.
So she was being challenged by Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain over this 50,000 new nurses. And what she says is, we've been very clear. She kept saying it. We've been very clear. There are going to be 50,000 new nurses. 19,000 of those nurses are going to be nurses we're stopping leaving the NHS. So 19,000 of these nurses are already nurses.
But that isn't an addition.
No, well, this is the thing. So Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid just kept saying, but it's not 50,000 more then, is it? It's 31,000 more nurses. And she was going, no, we're very clear on it. It's 50,000 more nurses for the NHS. They kept saying, well, no, it's not, because 19,000 of them are already nurses. She was going, yeah, but those are the ones that we would think might leave the NHS over
that
the next few years.
Might leave.
Well, yeah, and she just kept saying it. She kept saying, no, you know, we want to make sure we retain these 19,000 nurses. And they just kept saying, but... I mean, Piers Morgan, I hate the man, but he was so good. He just kept saying, but yeah, I mean, you've got to explain it to me. He said, I'm thick. And I go, yeah, that's true. He said, you know,
agreed with him twice.
Explain it to me how there's 50,000 more. And then Nikki Morgan says, no, look, you've got to understand. We've been very clear about it. It's 50,000 more. She just kept saying, just because you keep saying it doesn't make it true, love.
Saying, right, okay, good news. You're going to have a new car.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a new car.
Yeah.
And then the truth turns out, actually, I'm not going to give you a new car, but I'm going to let you keep your old one.
Yeah.
And that way you've got a new car.
And I think it was Susanna Reid said, you know, that's like saying that tomorrow there'll be three more presenters on Good Morning Britain just because they've stopped us three from leaving.
Yes.
And she said, oh, yes, but then you'd have six, wouldn't you? Because there'd be three more new ones. You go, but that's the point, isn't it? That's the point you're making, that you're going to have 19,000 already there. So you're actually giving 31,000. I just did my head in, and I just thought, God, that's how bad our politicians are, because they're actually making you like Piers Morgan.
Wow.
That's not right in this world, is it?
I mean, maybe that's the key. Maybe we need Piers Morgan in number 10.
No, we don't need Piers Morgan in number 10. We don't need any of this lot in number 10. Honestly, I find it, you know, like I say, I'm trying to avoid most of it because I find it so depressing that the quality that we've got in front of us, absolutely appalling.
Well, at the risk of upsetting certain people, I'm going to do it anyway. speaking of thick politicians.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
He's been let loose on Twitter again.
Oh, what's he doing now?
Well, I was thinking about how best to tell you this. I'm just going to have to show you what his tweet is, because you wouldn't believe me until you saw it.
Well, you say, I mean, there's
with your own eyes.
Is there any more things that idiot can do where you go, I don't believe it? Because he must have reached that threshold in so many areas of life now. He's like, I don't believe it. I can't believe he's done that.
I know.
So is there now a new level of disbelief at this man?
Yeah. Well, he's got form on Twitter. You might remember in May 2017, with no explanation, I don't ever think came out of it, he tweeted, despite the constant negative press kafefi.
Oh, I do remember this, yes.
Remember kafefi?
Kafefi.
Yep. So that was one of my favourite mistakes.
And what was he trying to say?
I don't think anyone knows to this day.
Did he not say it meant something?
No, surely not.
No, I'm sure he said, I'm going to look this up, because I'm sure he said that kafefi had some sort of meaning.
Well, if he did, I almost am happier living in a world where I don't know.
Really?
I like to think kafefi will always be a mystery to me.
Trump kafefi. I'm going to look it up.
Okay, you look that up, kafefi. And I'll just line up for you his most recent thing. He did this 3 days ago.
Now, what was this about?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think anybody knows. I'm about to show you this.
This is the President of the United States we're talking about. Surely this must have some real meaning for the future of the world somehow.
No. So I'm going to just give you a few little things, a bit of information about this. First of all, there is absolutely no caption, no text, no explanation whatsoever as to why he's tweeted this.
Right.
And the other thing is, it's 100% real. It's from his own Twitter account. This is real.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Now, what are you seeing there?
Well, it's a very Putin-esque photograph, this, because it's Donald Trump's head superimposed on a boxer.
It's Rocky Balboa.
On Rocky's body. Yeah. Okay, so it's Donald Trump's head on Rocky's body.
The President of the United States.
Honestly.
No explanation, not a word, tweeted out a picture of himself photoshopped onto Rocky's body.
I mean, he's so stupid, this man, that he probably thinks people will believe that that's his body.
Well, no, because kindly, among the now 680,000 likes this has had, are many people who are replying to him with other various unflattering pictures of him, what the reality of how he looks. Are you familiar with a boxer called Butterbean?
No, but was that a nickname or was that his real name?
I don't think it was his real name, no. Someone has gone to the trouble of editing a picture of his face onto Butterbean to sort of help him out with a sort of realistic expectations.
It looks far more likely, that yes. One.
So God knows if we're ever going to get any explanation to why that happened. We'll have to wait and see. Oh, did you get any follow-up on kafefi? What it meant?
Well, no.
Good.
The only thing I can find is that it would seem that it was a mistype of the word coverage, because it was apparently... He was obviously banging on about fake news and all that nonsense that he goes on about. So I think it was a mistyping of the word coverage.
So you're saying his sentence was supposed to say, despite the negative press coverage?
Yes, yes.
And that, I mean, doesn't that sentence need a addendum or more words to it to make a point? Otherwise, what does that mean, despite the negative press coverage? Despite what?
Well, I don't know what else there was involved in that tweet.
That was it.
Was that it?
That was the tweet. Despite the constant negative press kafefi.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any reason for the word kafefi, but it should become a word. What could kafefi mean? If we were to right now declare kafefi an official word, what would it mean? Despite the negative kafefi.
Well, it's quite close to kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle, yeah. So an ado. A kafefi is like another word for an ado, a kerfuffle. If you have a fight, oh, I got myself in a right old kafefi last night. If you get into like one of those, if you get into like you're in the pub with your mate and you get into a row about Brexit or politics or whatever, go, oh, I had a right old kafefi last night.
Yeah, I like it.
That's what it's going to mean. So, that, all right, well, this is now official. We'll get onto Collins and the Oxford English Dictionary. We'll make sure it goes in as that. Kafefi.
I do remember the day after that happened and everyone was just wetting themselves laughing at it because it was funny. I mean, it was one of my favourite things he's ever tweeted. I was driving into work, I think with you actually, and we drove past a coffee shop which had a sign out saying,
yes,
we don't have any kafefi, but we do have coffee.
So we're now into December, Ben. Christmas is looming.
It's close.
And it's also Panto season.
Mm.
And a mate of mine asked me for some advice the other day because he's looking for a Panto to take his two daughters to. And he lives in Beckenham, which is sort of midpoint between Croydon and Bromley.
Mm-hmm.
So he could pick the Panto in Croydon or he could pick the Panto in Bromley.
Okay.
The Panto in Croydon is Cinderella.
Okay.
And it stars, because, you know, they always have a good star on in a Panto, don't they?
Yeah.
It's always a big name to draw you in. They've got Ore Aduba.
Right.
He's a TV presenter. I think he won Strictly a couple of years ago, or maybe last year.
Okay.
And Tim Vine.
Okay, I've heard Tim Vine.
So Tim Vine and Ore Aduba are in Croydon. In Bromley, you got the king of the Panto in Bromley.
Who's that?
You got Biggins.
Oh, big man.
You got Biggins in Bromley, and that's Aladdin. So, of course, Biggins is Widow Twankey.
Of course. He is. Yep.
So he said to me, which one? And I went, well, you got to go Biggins, haven't you, every day?
I think so.
I mean, Tim Vine, he's great. We love Tim Vine. But Biggins, A, is older, so you got to see him while you can. I mean, I think he's got plenty of time left, old Biggins. But I'm saying, you know, you've got years and years, God willing, to see Tim Vine.
Yes, plenty of time.
You know what I mean? So it got me thinking about Pantos. I haven't been to a Panto. The last Panto I went to, I was probably in my 20s, and I went to a Panto that was sort of for adults.
Okay.
At this, it was a very sort of old-fashioned place in London, and it was very music hall, so it's kind of based on Victorian or early 20th century humour.
Okay.
And I remember that being very funny, but Pantos I haven't been to for years, and I was trying to remember Pantos that I went to as a kid.
I didn't know they did adult Pantos. When I say adult Pantos, I don't mean that kind of adult.
No.
I thought the point of them was they were for kids.
But you can have them for grown-ups as well, because a lot of Pantos, you've got the humour split, haven't you?
Yeah, it can be quite double entendre.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't even say his name, I hate him so much. Jim Davidson.
Oh, yeah. Cinderella with S-I-N.
He used to do very grown-up Pantos, but I wouldn't want to see him. So why would you go? But this one I saw, it wouldn't have been offensive if you had kids, as far as I remember there, but I think it was a little bit close to the knuckle, but only in that music hall sense. There wasn't any swearing. It was just, as you say, it was just all double entendre.
I never know how to say that without sounding like a complete tosser.
No, I think you have to say it with a bit of a French accent.
You do, okay, good.
Because otherwise you just go double entendre. And that doesn't say you've got to go double entendre.
Yeah.
You know, lots of things like, oh, where's me Winkle.
Where's me Winkle?
Yeah, lots of things like that. Ooh, where's me Winkle? There were lots of things like that. There was complaints, I think, a couple of years ago, because I think Pantos, you know, they can be quite rude.
Yeah.
And there were complaints a few years ago. I can't remember who was in it. It might have been John Barrowman. And there were lots of double entendre in it.
Yeah.
And he was in bed with somebody in the Panto.
Right.
I don't know what they were doing in the bed. Nothing like that. And the line was something like, oh, you got hold of my Tinky Winky. And
is that even double entendre anymore? Or is that just, that's just on the nose filth, isn't it?
Well, they pulled out from under the covers a Tinky Winky Teletubbies doll.
Oh, like a teddy bear of it.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. Okay, so, you know, that sort of thing. I think that's sort of okay in it, but people complained about it. I think if you're going to go to a Panto, you're going to get that sort of thing.
They complained about that.
Yeah, you can't complain about that sort of thing. That's what Panto does.
I do love the things people will complain about.
Yeah, because your kid's not going to get that that that's rude.
No.
You know, you're the one that's offended as a grown-up. Just literally grow up.
I mean, I can see being offended because it's just such a poor joke.
But I think it went on as well. There was another Tinky Winky gag after that.
Oh.
If you excuse the phrase, Tinky Winky gag. I mean...
Well, if you're going to buy the Tinky Winky doll, you might as well get your money's worth out of it.
I was trying to remember pantos I saw as a kid, though. And I remember going to see Babes in the Wood. Because how many pantos are there? You got, obviously, there's Aladdin, there's Cinderella.
There's hundreds of the things.
Yeah, but when you say hundreds, they're always Aladdin, they're always Cinderella, Peter Pan. And then you got the weird thing that you've got Biggins dressing up as the panto dame. You've always got that.
Yeah.
But then Peter Pan's always played by a woman. There's all that confusion going on. I can't get my head around that. As a kid, that was all very confusing for me.
Yeah, no one ever explained to me why women tend to play men in pantomimes and things like that.
I guess
it must just go back to their creation, does it? Or tradition?
Yes, it must do. I mean, certainly men dressing as women, that was always... Women didn't act, did they? Oh,
that was in Shakespeare, wasn't it?
Back in the day,
yeah. They would always be played by men, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm imagining, because I think panto goes way, way, way back to almost sort of 14th century or even earlier than that.
Really?
But yeah, oh, wow. I think it goes back a long, long way. But I don't think they had sort of as much... double entendre as we do now. So I was trying to remember ones I went to, and I remember going to see Babes in the Wood.
Right.
And the thing is, you always think, oh, I remember who I saw in that because it's famous people, right? So you always think, oh, well, that must have made an impact on me. But it was either Cannon and Ball or Little and Large, but I can't remember. It was one of those double acts.
Right, I thought for a minute Babes in the Wood might have been another one of Jim Davidson's Raunchy Ones.
No, I think that's Babes and the Wood. It's a very different play. So we're talking about pantomimes, Ben.
Yeah.
Should we meet someone that is actually going to be in a pantomime this year?
Let's do it.
It's Jenny Costello, radio presenter, now pantomime star. Jenny Costello. Hey, Jen.
Hello, Ben. Hello, Trevor.
Hello.
So you're going to be in a pantomime. Now, first of all, what's the panto?
It is the classic Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, that is one of the classics, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Definitely. Now, who are you playing? What roles are you performing?
Well, the company that I'm doing the pantomime with are an amateur company, but actually they're full of semi and ex-professional performers. So unfortunately, when I auditioned, I didn't get a principal role, but I am very busy in this pantomime because I am part of the chorus.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a busy old part in a panto.
It certainly is.
On and off stage all the time, I bet.
Yes, I have lots of songs, lots of dances, lots of scenes that I'm in the background of and sometimes at the front of the stage. And there was a lot to remember. And it's been a very interesting challenge for me, actually.
Because you've done a little bit of acting, because this is the thing. So you mentioned it's an amateur dramatics thing. Now, I don't know about you, Ben, but there are sort of certain preconceptions that I think people have about amateur dramatics.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's fair.
And I used to have these preconceptions until I saw a few years back, a friend of mine put on a play, an amateur dramatics play. It was Under Milk Wood, which is quite a heavy bit of drama.
Okay.
And it was brilliant. And then I have seen Jenny in a couple of performances, which have just been extraordinary. And it sounds as though this one is going to be just as good.
This one is actually probably one of the most professional productions I've ever been involved with, because I have seen this particular theatre company, who are called the Godalming Theatre Group. I have seen some of their plays and pantos in the past. And to me, they rival any professional pantomime or theatre show around this area of Surrey. And some of the people in the show and the people I've seen in the past should be on the West End stage. I mean, that's the sort of standard we're talking about.
And the thing about a panto is it's quite... how far do you go in terms of sort of innuendo? I've been looking into lots of stuff about pantomimes, and there's been so many complaints about how filthy pantomimes have become over the years. I'm assuming yours is pretty clean cut and family friendly.
Well, you have to be a grown-up to understand some of the humour, if you know what I mean. And the Ugly Sisters, they are fantastic. They are absolutely hilarious. There's all the innuendos in there. They're trying to chat up the blokes in the audience. It's all going on. But of course, if you're really little and you're really young, it will go over your head. But for the grown-ups, it's very, very funny.
Well, that's good though, isn't it? I mean, we need it for both levels.
You do for this sort of show, because I think if you avoid all that, the adults in the audience are not going to enjoy it. And what is fun about coming to see a show like this with your children or bringing other children is that it brings it all back to you when you went to see this sort of thing when you were a child. So, you know, we're all big kids really, and I think what's so wonderful about going to see a Christmas pantomime is that you can just be a child again. It doesn't matter.
I was just going to ask as well, how often do these scripts vary from production to production? Do you have free rein to edit them on the go, or do you have to stick to a fairly rigid script?
I think there are numerous scripts for all the pantomimes. This particular script that we're using, I don't think the group have used before, but they have done Cinderella a couple of times before over the years, but used different scripts. But yes, I mean, it's the same old story. Cinderella, we know what happens with her. So it's nice to actually have different scripts to choose from. But at the end of the day, it's the same old story. And what the company that I'm involved with, they have chosen their own particular songs, and we have a wonderful choreographer who has put together some wonderful dances. So it will be unlike any other Cinderella. It's bringing out an individuality in each pantomime. It's very important.
So Ben, what was your favourite bit of a panto? Was it the bit where you can shout back, you know, all that kind of to and fro between cast and audience?
Yeah, as a kid, that was definitely what you went for.
And I mean, Jen, is that what you're really looking forward to? Those moments when you can do the "Oh no, it isn't," and you go,
"Oh yes, he is." Oh yes, we have plenty of that, and you know, it's corny and it's predictable, but it's brilliant fun, you know.
Can that ever backfire? Can you ever get any sort of rowdy hecklers getting a bit too overexcited on the night?
Well, you know what, I'll tell you after it's happened. I'm hoping we don't get any hecklers, but it'd be very interesting once we are in front of a live audience for the first time. Yes,
I saw this thing recently where a couple of years ago there was a panto. I think it again was a sort of local amateur dramatics group somewhere, and I don't think they were up to the sort of standards you're working to, Jen, because the cast on stage were being heckled by other members of the cast. They were that bad. You don't need that.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want that. If you suddenly find yourself being
that's awful.
Heckled by, by Cinderella from the Wings, it's time to just pack up and go home, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
There was also a great story of a woman who went to a panto, and she was quite heavily pregnant. She laughed so hard that she went into labour. I mean, that's the sort of reaction you want, isn't it?
I'll be watching some pregnant women then, just in case it happens at our pantomime.
They should be always sat near the back for a quick exit, just in case.
Yes, definitely.
So what do you remember from your childhood, Jen, going to pantos?
I used to love going to see pantomimes. We always went as a family from when I was a young girl, and one of my biggest memories was when I was about 10 years old. I can't remember which pantomime it was, but Clive Dunn was in the pantomime. You remember Clive Dunn?
Oh, Clive Dunn, man. That would be a joy to... Ben's looking at me as if to say, who the hell is Clive Dunn?
I have no idea.
Oh, this is because... And I don't want to get into this. I'm sorry, Jen, but this does require a telling off here for Ben. Because I've told you time and time again to watch Dad's Army, Ben.
Oh, God.
And time again, you have disappointed me. Clive Dunn was Corporal Jones. He was also Granddad, wasn't he? Granddad, yes. We love
Granddad.
You.
Yeah. I hope someone listening is getting all these references.
Clive Dunn, mate. Clive, honestly, yeah. You're so uncultured. So Clive Dunn, did you get to meet him?
Well, I did. He was the first famous person I ever met in my life. Me and my friend, we went to the backstage afterwards and we queued up to get his autograph. And of course, Clive Dunn, he was most memorable to me for being in Granddad and singing that song and everything. And it was such a disappointment.
No, don't say this.
No.
I'm sorry, but when we got to the front of the queue and he signed my autograph book.
Yeah.
He was so grumpy.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, this
he
is disappointing.
He was really miserable. Oh. I couldn't believe it. It shattered all my illusions of Grandad, the character. So that was my first experience of meeting someone famous, and that's what happened.
You see, never meet your heroes.
I can't believe that. I'm very upset by that. I mean, I'm just assuming that...
I'm sorry.
I'm just assuming he'd had a bad day. He wasn't normally like that. But
probably.
I mean,
he's probably worn out.
Well, you know, and I don't want to cast aspersions, but maybe you were just a bad audience, you know? Maybe it was like, oh, this lot, they've been awful this afternoon. All the cues they had for, oh, no, he isn't, and they just, nothing, nothing.
Maybe it was just the sight of me just made him think, oh, not another little girl who wants my autograph.
You must have, Ben, come on, who did you see in Panto? You must remember.
I've got a funny feeling I once saw Philip Schofield in something.
Philip Schofield?
Yeah.
Well, he was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, wasn't he?
That might have been it, but that's not a Panto, is it?
I got this memory of seeing Roy Castle in something, but I don't think that was a Panto either. I think that was something else.
Again, it's a name I'm not entirely
oh,
sure.
Oh, come on.
Roy Castle.
I've heard the name.
Oh, God.
Where did I know him from?
Dealing with it. Record Breakers.
A legend.
All right.
Come on. Do you remember when we were on the radio, I told you about Record Breakers. I played you his song, if you remember
rightly.
You
did. I remember. Yes, it's all come crashing back to me, yeah.
Because, come on, Jen, you remember it. Dedication. Dedication.
Oh, yes.
That's what you need.
And he was amazing on the trumpet. Do you remember how talented he was? He was a brilliant trumpet player.
Dancer, trumpet player. Come on, Ben. You don't know Clive Dunn. Who do you know?
He was born in the 30s. I've just Googled him.
Well,
that's not my fault.
No,
it's 2019.
Excuse for not knowing who Roy Castle is. It's out of order, mate, not knowing who Roy Castle is. I'm gutted about that. I'll tell you what, though. There's been some amazing stars in Panto over the years. Obviously, you've got the king of the Panto, who I mentioned earlier. Biggins.
Yeah, Christopher Biggins.
I mean...
Has he arrived for your one yet? Because I'm sure it must be contractual that Christopher Biggins appears in every Panto.
Every Panto.
Everywhere.
But here's some amazing people that have come from Hollywood to star in Pantos, right? So David Hasselhoff, do you remember a few years ago he was in a Panto? Peter Pan he was in. I think
they must have worked in some Hoff pun somewhere. They can't help themselves with him.
Well, he must have done. I mean, he was Captain Hook. Can you think of a...
Captain Hoff.
Captain Hoff.
Crowbar.
Doesn't really work, does it? Doesn't really work. Pamela Anderson was in a Panto one.
Was she really?
That's a weird sort of person to be in a Panto.
Well, she was an actress.
Was she?
She was on TV.
George Takei. I suppose you don't know who he is.
I do know who George Takei is.
Yeah.
He was on I'm a Celebrity a few years ago.
Oh, is that how you know him?
Sadly, yes.
You know him. He was Star Trek, of course. He was in Aladdin a few years ago. And here's my favourite celebrity. You won't know who this is either, Ben, because you just don't know who anyone is. Henry Winkler.
Oh, the Fonz.
Oh, you do know the Fonz.
Of course I know the Fonz.
Well, how come you know the Fonz and you don't know Clive Dunn?
I've never seen Happy Days, though.
Oh, come on.
Never seen it.
Every street we turn down here, you're just providing disappointment,
oh,
haven't you?
Dear.
I know who he was, though, if that counts.
I'd love to see Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, isn't he? He's been in something recently called Barry, which is a sort of thing about crime, and he plays a drama teacher. He's absolutely superb.
I'd like to give that a go.
So can you remember who else you saw? So we know you saw Clive Dunn. Who else did you see in Panto, Jen? Do you remember anyone else?
Funny about pantomimes, isn't it? Because you do see some big stars very occasionally in pantos, but usually it's people who haven't been on TV for a while or people who aren't doing much at the moment. And this is not to discredit this lady I'm going to mention who I saw in Panto, because she's an amazing talent, but her name is Bonnie Langford.
Oh, Bonnie Langford again, Ben. Here we go. Ben, do you know who Bonnie Langford is?
Again, it's a name I've heard of.
She basically screamed for a living. That
I'll Google her again. Give me a minute.
I remember her from Doctor Who. She was in Doctor Who for a while.
Yes.
But wasn't she in... Because she made her name quite a child actress, didn't she? In was it, I don't know, was it Just William or something like that?
Yes.
And she was
Just William.
She famously...
And then scream and scream and scream.
That's
something.
The line. I was going to do that line. I'm glad you did it because you're the actress here. And I would have just done that really badly.
Oh, I do recognise her.
You do recognise her?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what she's doing. Well, Panto, presumably. Can you look up if she's in a Panto this year, Ben? Can you just look up?
Yes, I can give it a go.
So the other thing about Pantos, I don't know if you're allowed to do this anymore, but I've got a memory that they would throw things out, like sweets and things, to the audience. I bet health and safety stopped all that now. Do you get to throw anything at the audience?
No, sadly we don't. But yes, I do remember having sweets thrown at me in the audience when I was younger and being very upset when I didn't catch one. But no, we don't throw any sweets. But... I'm just going to secretly tell you something that we do.
Go on.
At one point, but we don't want the audience to know. So keep this quiet. We actually have water pistols at one point, and we do squirt, not me, the other characters, squirt as much of the audience as they can.
So if someone has been heckling, you can really get your own back, really target them.
You could, definitely, yes.
Now, the other thing, Jen, is I know, because you've got a podcast where we're sort of following your journey, and we said earlier you've done some acting, but it's your first Panto. Are rehearsals incredibly difficult and intense?
Yes, well, this is why I've done a podcast series about my journey through the last couple of months of rehearsals, because the whole thing has been quite interesting, because I cannot dance. I am not a natural dancer. I can, as you know, Trevor, I can dance at a disco.
Oh,
fine.
Yeah. Well, you and me, we've famously taken the dance floor to task on several occasions.
But you give me some dance steps to learn, and oh my goodness, it is really hard work. But since September, I have learnt 11 dance routines.
Wow.
With songs, and I'm still trying to remember them all in my head. I'm practicing some at home sometimes. So that has been the challenge, and that has been hard work. But I think I can say that I'm a lot better than I was in September. So I've come a long way.
Any news on Bonnie Langford?
Yes, we have a Bonnie update.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Yes, she basically was in Panto. She's not this year, unfortunately.
Oh, well, why not? What's she doing?
It doesn't say why not.
Oh, Bonnie, we've got to find out what's happening.
Back in 2013, she was the star of Cinderella.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Wow. There you go. You see, you're following in some pretty big footsteps here, Jen, that's for sure.
I know. Absolutely. Clive Dern, Bonnie Langford, me.
Now, one of the other staples of any Panto should be a pantomime horse. Is there one in your Panto, Jen? Because I reckon back end of the horse has got to be the worst role in any Panto.
Well, interesting that you should ask this, because about 2 weeks ago in rehearsals, our lovely director, Denise, suggested that even though there is not a horse in the story of Cinderella, we are going to have a panto horse anyway.
Of course.
Just walking across the stage in a random scene, just so we can get the horse in there. And she wanted volunteers. I didn't volunteer for this, but two of my new friends are going to be the horse in the whole costume and everything, and that's going to be quite a funny moment.
I wonder how the auditions for that go. I'm here to play the back part. Right, show us what you can do. Nice Ben, you're in.
So it's just been completely crowbarred into the script for no other reason than just
not
to have it there.
You've got to have it. It's a panto.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I'm just being honest. That's how it's happening.
They have, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do like a pantomime horse race where they go from pub to pub in Greenwich in London. Can you imagine by the end of, say, the fourth pub? I mean, the line is going to be very wobbly of panto horses running up and down the street, isn't it?
Yeah. And you wouldn't want someone being sick in the back of that horse suit, would you?
Or in the front. Basically, you don't want it anywhere near the horse suit. So, Jen,
can I mention something else about horses?
Yeah.
If people have been to see a pantomime, they may have actually seen little ponies on. I'm talking real ponies.
Really?
Because sometimes in the story of Cinderella, certain productions have real little ponies bringing the carriage on stage. And we were talking about trying to do that for our pantomime, but we worked out that actually for 10 shows, trying to get a little pony to behave itself walking across the stage was a big ask. So we're not doing that.
And not to say expensive.
Absolutely.
I reckon if you...
I think it was going to be a favour. Well, can we borrow your pony?
I remember once being involved in, this isn't a pantomime story, but I remember being involved in something once where we hired a donkey. And
what was this?
It was a charity fundraising event, and we hired a donkey. But the rules were very stringent on the donkey had to have an hour's rest every half hour or something. It was barely worth having this thing.
That donkey's got rights.
We didn't make any money on it. It cost us more to hire it than we made on the day. So we shot it. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't really. I also once, a couple of weeks ago, Ben, we were talking about when I dressed up as Father Christmas for the schools.
Yeah.
What I didn't tell you was I once, they used to do a big procession from the school to the church for the blessing of the nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this massive procession to the church. They hired camels and people to dress up as the three kings. And then I was Father Christmas on the back of a truck playing loud music. That was bizarre. That cost a fortune because it's not cheap getting three camels.
No.
It's not a cheap thing to do.
Wow. They certainly blew all the budget on the camels.
And we caused a car crash in Putney High Street.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
No one was hurt. It was only a little bump, really. But so Jen, tell us when this panto is.
It is very, very soon.
Oh no, it isn't.
Starts. Oh yes, it does. Saturday, the 14th of December, the curtain goes up for Cinderella, and we are doing 10 shows right up until Sunday, the 22nd of December.
10 shows, I mean, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, because we have matinees at the weekend, so I've got to do 2 shows on 4 of the days.
Wow. I was, funny enough, on my way to Ben's to record today, I had the radio on, and Jason Manford was on the radio, and he was saying, I think he's in a panto this year, and they talked to him about matinees, and he went, yeah, the families love them, but I hate them. And the reason he hates them is because the long gap between the afternoon finishing and then the evening thing, because that's a long time to kill, and you can't go and have a drink, can you?
Well,
no.
I've got a friend, right, who used to be an actor, and years ago he was in a panto, which I found this a weird thing. There's a panto called King Rat, but it is quite a well-known panto. Have you ever heard of King Rat, Jen?
I think I have, actually, yeah.
So on his first night, he was playing King Rat. So on his first night, he had all this makeup put on. They said to him, we've got a rat sort of mask that we can put on you. And he was like, no, I'm an actor. I want to have the makeup. I want it all wonderful. And then at the end of the evening performance, it took him so long to get the makeup off that he missed last orders in the pub. So after that, he was like, oh, I'll put the head on, put the mask on. That's fine.
You've got to get your priorities right, haven't you? So I'm sure you're going to have a blast with all 10 shows. But on the 10th and final night, will it be a bit more raucous? Will you have a bit more fun with it than usual? Or is it business as usual for every single show?
I think the last show is going to be a big finale. It will be an amazing moment to get to, and in a way I think it's going to be a mixture of feelings, because it'll be a relief that it's all done, but also sad that this is going to be the last performance. So that should be that's going to be great fun, that last one. And then I'm just going to collapse the day. I'm not going to do anything at all. I will not appear until Christmas Eve.
And what's the name of your podcast if people want to follow your journey?
It's called The Amdram Chronicles.
And that's available on iTunes and wherever people get their podcasts?
Yep. The usual places, yes.
Wonderful. Well, Jen, I know you've got to rush off because you're off to rehearsals right now, aren't you?
Yes, we've got a long rehearsal ahead of us, a run-through of the whole pantomime.
Oh, is it a whole run-through today? Is this the first entire run-through?
No, we have done a few of them, but we've got to get better and better now because time is tight. It's not long until the show opens.
Is the director a bit of a taskmaster? Do they shout at you, or is it all very laid back?
It's not laid back. She's lovely and she's very, very creative. And yes, if we need telling that we're, if we need to be told that we're not doing something right, we will know about it.
Well, look, good luck with it, Jen.
Yeah, best of luck.
Have lots of fun with it. Enjoy, just enjoy it, because it's got to be a laugh just doing it, isn't it?
Thank you.
Got to be good fun.
Can I wish you both a can I wish you both a happy Christmas?
Yes, thank you.
That's my first one.
Well, yes.
And Merry Christmas to you, Jen.
And good luck. And we'll catch up maybe in the new year, just see how it all went.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
Now, earlier, Ben, when we were talking about pantos, and I said that people complained because of some of the du bon temps.
Yes, you did, yeah.
And you said it's amazing what people complain about.
Mm-hmm.
Before we finish today, I want to tell you that you're absolutely right. People complain about the most ludicrous things, right? So a couple have got very upset because they went to do their shopping in Waitrose.
Ooh.
How do you say Waitrose, by the way? Because I know some people go to Waitrose. Like, they say it a bit differently.
He's a personal bugbear of mine when people say Waitrose.
Waitrose. Yeah. It's just Waitrose, right?
And it's the same thing that annoys me about people that say retro.
Who says retro?
I've heard people say it. Waitrose and retro.
Retro? What is it? Retro?
As in retro.
It's ludicrous. Yeah. I've never heard that. Who's saying that?
I don't know. It's pronounced Waitrose.
Of course it's pronounced Waitrose, right? And maybe this is the problem, right, that people get a bit snooty about Waitrose.
Stop it.
Because a couple went there and they bought their Mediterranean roasting vegetables, okay, and they're in a little tin tray thing.
Yeah.
And then they got very upset because when they turned the tray over, on the bottom is an Aldi sticker.
And they're paying Waitrose prices.
Waitrose prices. They play Waitrose, but you sound like some sort of 1950s policeman when you say it like Waitrose. I was proceeding along the high street and went into Waitrose where I found Aldi stickered vegetables.
So was it just a cock-up or what?
Well, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be any response to it. All I can think is that Aldi and Waitrose get their packed Mediterranean veg from the same place and just the wrong label went on, and now people are upset about it. And like you said, just stop complaining about it. you've got your veg. It's not a problem.
Well,
because if you bought them in Aldi, you would have saved yourself probably a lot of money for a start.
Yeah.
And secondly, they're exactly the same.
But isn't that what you complain about? Why are you selling me the same quality as them, but adding a much higher price tag to it?
Well, yeah, I suppose that would be the issue. Mm. Perhaps
But then again, you've got the choice also to then put them back on the shelf and walk out and buy something else.
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to buy the veg.
The difference in price is 71 pence between Waitrose and Aldi. If you can afford to shop in Waitrose on a regular occasion, I don't think 79p is an issue.
No, was it 71? 71 or 79?
Oh, sorry, 71.
Oh, come on, I have money bags over there.
Oh, 8p here and there. Who cares, mate? Do you know what? I'll throw that away. If I've got 8p in change, I'll stick it in a bin. Not interested.
I certainly wouldn't be complaining about 71p.
That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Thank you very much to Jenny Costello for joining us and telling us all about her panto experience. Don't forget her podcast, The Amdram Chronicles, is available to listen to. I'm going to go and see her panto.
Are you?
I think I might be going to the final show as well. Wow. Which is going to be the funnest maybe.
Yeah,
of a lot. So I'll report back.
Please do.
Obviously I'll do a review. Should I do like a really pretentious late show review?
You could do
in a sort of very poncy accent. Well, the thing is, I went to see a production of Cinderella and the Godalming Theatre, and it was absolutely marvellous. And what I could see running through it was a theme almost Shakespearean. Should I do something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Make sure you use the phrase mise en scène as well.
Mise en scène?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's some theatre-y, filmy, poncy word about the, I don't know, the setup or the set, yeah.
Mise en scène. That must be a French thing. I wonder what that means.
I'll Google it.
I'm always
We've
worried.
Got time. It's only the end of the podcast.
I'm always worried about using the word theatre because you always get upset by the way I say that.
Because you say it wrong. I've given up trying to help you now.
But I still don't understand why I say it wrong.
Because you say theatre.
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 You're saying it, we've been through it. You're right. Saying it exactly the same.
Mise en scène,
yeah,
the arrangement of scenery, props, etc., on the stage of a theatrical production.
Oh well, the mise en scène was spectacular.
There we go.
That's all I can say. Right, thank
you. Look forward to that.
Thanks very much for listening. Please remember to subscribe and review and all that sort of stuff. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.